It's Thursday, October 19th, 2017, and you're listening to Last Time on Video Games, the show about retro video games and sometimes some other stuff. You're listening to episode 203. What if Kirby was a golf, though? Runtime for this episode is 37 minutes. Hello and welcome to Last Time on Video Games, the podcast that dreams of Kirby. My name is Jeremy.
Mini golf aficionado here, Tyler.
Really? You're a mini golf aficionado? What's your normal score?
Over 9,000!
It's a really long course.
I always chip eagles. My name is Zach.
Chip eagles. Really?
Yes, I chip in and I get eagles all the time.
On mini golf.
I'm very good at mini golf.
No, I'm actually not very good at mini golf.
I'm actually quite good at golf, too.
I've played a lot of mini golf courses, and I have never gotten better.
Yeah, provided I'm imagining things. I hit really, really far when I'm actually, like, golfing. My short game is crap, though.
But that's mini golf. You should be good at that.
Mini golf's actually easier.
Yeah, I guess it's, like, flat and well-groomed all the time.
Well, so is the green, but mini golf has, like, borders and stuff on it.
That is true.
It's really easy to hit the ball all the way across the green and back into the fairway.
Okay. I've never played actual golf.
I have never played an actual game of actual golf.
I've done driving, and I've done mini golf. I have never combined the two into golf.
My parents are big golf fans.
I'm aware.
I guess not big golf fans, but they go golfing a lot.
Golfing is their hobby.
Yeah.
And it is what they do as a couple, as far as I can tell.
Yep, and they will invite me sometimes, and I will occasionally go with, but I just generally don't like golfing. I like going to the driving range, because I like hitting it like 400 yards.
Yeah, I've gone to a driving range before. That's fun. It's a good way to take out some pent-up aggression, right?
Were you there when I snapped the head off my dad's driver?
No.
I think I was.
I know.
And it went, like, flying into the driving range.
It was, like, you, me, and Chris, and someone else, I think. I thought it was Tyler, but...
I've been to a driving range with you and Chris, but I do not remember that happening.
I hit it just right that the head of the driver snapped off and actually went farther than the ball.
That's impressive.
So we had to ask the ball guy to bring back the head of the driver. It was, like, $50 to fix it.
Oh, did they just like, well, how do you fix that? Do you
I have no idea. I told my dad about it and asked him if he wanted me to pay him back, and he just said no, it's okay.
I almost broke my parents' paper shredder today.
How did you do
that?
Then
I unbroke it. The trash can was really full, and it started backing up into it. Really, what I almost did was light a trash can on fire under the shredder. But it stopped working because the bag was too full.
Also, lighting a trash can on fire under the shredder, I'm pretty sure was a resolution to a plot.
Of Ninja Turtles?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen one of those shredded trucks?
Yes.
No?
It's actually pretty cool. Like, when those shredded trucks come in, part of the back actually pops out, and that's what picks up the trash cans.
Oh, neat.
And dumps them out.
That's actually kind of cool.
So anyway, what else do you like, Tyler? Like, so much that you were playing it this week.
So I haven't actually had a lot of time to play video games, and I'm not really sure why. Like, I don't know what I've been doing.
Spoilers for my section, me too. I know a little of what I've been doing, but it should not account for all that time.
I mean, I've been playing Dokkan Battle because Dokkan Battle is love, Dokkan Battle is life. But beyond that, like, I've been playing some Splatoon off and on, so...
I was going to ask if you've been playing Splatoon 2, but you have zero Switches.
I have zero Switches, but I've been seeing a lot of stuff about Splatoon 2, which makes me want to play more Splatoon. And it's a fun game. I've been enjoying that, but I have really not been playing a whole lot. I've been, like, watching people play Super Smash Bros., which is almost as good as actually playing it.
It works pretty well as an eSport.
That is true. Well, especially, like, I like watching fighting games. I don't necessarily like playing them as much.
Does TSM still have a representative for Smash, or...
They had a lot of visa problems with him, so I don't know if they still have him or not. Oh, but they picked up Zero for Smash 4, and I can't imagine they let him go, since he was the best Smash 4 player in the world by a Jiren margin.
I like that. Let's start using that kind of thing as a unit of measurement.
I don't want to talk too much about it, but when Goku appeared to die, what I really wanted to happen was just everybody in the tournament to jump Jiren and have him just beating them all.
They kind of were starting to set that up, but then Goku got better.
Yes. Anyway, any insights about Splatoon, or is it still just a pretty decent shooter?
It's still a pretty decent shooter. I was playing ranked recently on not my preferred weapon, and that was a bad idea, is what I found out. I dropped down to A rank. So now I need to get back up to A+, so I can live in A+ hell again for a while. One of these days, I go back to S, and then the game will be fun again. So the game has a really weird thing with its ranking system, where A and A+ ranks tend to be just, like, horrible to play with, because you get a mix of people who just, like, were barely good enough to get out of B, but are awful, on average, and people who are way better.
It sounds like every description I've ever heard of plat is like you have the in League of Legends, like the platinum rank. You got all the people who just barely got out of gold or were boosted out of gold, and then you have all the people who
like really belong there.
Belong there, and then you have the people who belong there and don't care anymore. Because they aren't going anywhere.
Yeah, that's basically where I got when I was S rank, is I was good. Like, I mostly win those games by just, like, employing routes that the rest of the team isn't using and using them as a distraction and then flanking the enemy team, which works fine, except in A rank matches, like, people don't understand that you need to, like, move as a unit. So it's like one person will, like, run out and go die. So I have to, like, sit there waiting for people to spawn so I can run out with them.
I heard the perfect explanation for something like that today on a podcast I listened to, and it was the Jackie Chan extras. Where you go one by one and die.
Oh, I would prefer Power Rangers putties, but yes, same idea.
Well, they were talking about League of Legends, so that's a big problem in League of Legends, where someone will get mobbed and die to five people, and then his teammates, I will be the savior, and they will run in and die. And
one at a time.
Someone else behind him will be, I can salvage this, and I'm the last guy on the team going,
I'm just gonna wait.
Well, you're the AD carry. You don't have a way to get in if you wanted to.
Well, sometimes if I'm playing Ashe, I'm like, here's the arrow, now run. And they go back in, and I'm like, where are you? Ugh.
It's frustrating.
I'll just leave.
So speaking of League of Legends, Zach, what have you been playing?
I've been playing a lot of League of Legends because the Worlds is going on. I haven't really been watching it, but they've still got the challenges going on, and I've been trying to complete those. I had one where it was win a game with Ignite, which is one of the summoner spells. It is the only real offensive one. It deals a damage over time effect to people.
Okay.
And it
that doesn't seem super useful.
It's good for finishing a kill. Like, okay. If you do it, it also increases the damage you deal to them, I think, or it used to.
It does apply Grievous Wounds, so it slows down healing.
So it's really good at the start of a fight, and it's very satisfying for them to just get out of your range and then burn to death.
I was playing it on Ashe, and like, I've played a few games on Ashe. I've lost every Ashe game I've played this week, which is really frustrating because I really like that champion, and it wasn't even so much that, oh man, I'm doing terribly. It's like, okay, bottom lane's winning. All right, what's the rest of the team look like? It's a dumpster fire. I can't salvage this.
That's when you shoot arrows into the dumpster fire and hope it puts them out. They are ice arrows.
I know, like, I tried. At one point, I was kind of hard carrying my team. I mean, we were losing, but then we got a break because the enemy mid laner, who was really fed and would delete me, disconnected. So I was starting to hard carry the team, but our mid laner threw a hissy fit because he'd lost his lane because he was an idiot. And disconnected, and then their guy reconnected. So I had, I'm like, guys, we can't win this. Like, we were already losing, and now we're into a 4v5. So I'm sorry, we can't win this. And we surrendered after that. But we were guaranteed to lose at that point. We had a very pick heavy team that we didn't really use to pick anybody.
I don't know what that means.
Picking off like one guy. Like, okay. I see you, I hit you with arrow, and now we murder you. We can't fight you 1v, we can't fight 5v5. Because we don't have a good front line. They did.
So like 2013 Fnatic were the best at picks, because they would all hide in one random bush just on the map and just wait. And eventually someone would be like, where the hell are they? And they would walk near the bush and they would be dead. And then Fnatic would try to win a game.
So, and then I got really fed up because I was playing a lot of Ashe, and eventually I picked Jhin, who's one of my better carries, and just absolutely dumpstered my lane opponents and won the game. It's actually pretty funny because their support was hanging around under the tower like, there's no way he's going to do anything to me. I flashed straight at him and blasted him and killed him and then just ran out from underneath the turret. Like, dude, I have an execute massive damage on this fourth shot and I've got it available. Why are you still here? Because Jhin has four bullets before he has to reload. He's got a reload mechanic, and his fourth one does massive damage and execute damage.
Can enemies tell when you're on that last
bullet?
Yes. Okay.
There's a big indicator underneath the health bar that shows how many bullets I've got left, and the last one is this big red bullet. I don't think he expected me to burn the 5-minute cooldown of flash to pick him off.
But it was like, worth it, I think.
It was worth it, because I got the kill, I didn't lose anything, and I was going to back anyway, so I went back with even more gold in my pocket. And I get to experiment, too, this week. I lost the game, but I had a blast doing it. I played bottom lane Veigar.
That does sound fun. Support or AD carry?
AD carry. Because my top laner was playing Kled. My mid laner was playing Gangplank, which are both AD-focused champions. So I'm like, I'll play Veigar bottom lane so we have some AP. I don't think it's bad because like scales really, really hard, because one of his abilities, anytime he gets a kill with it or hits somebody with an ability, he gains a stack of AP, which is ability power, and he's centered on his ability power.
Okay.
So by the end game, he's hitting someone with a basic ability for like 600 damage, just normally. And I lost lane because I was against a Zaya who's really, really good at clearing waves, and I wasn't really familiar with him. But like, we were doing okay. And then the enemy top laner who was fed came down and just killed us off. I'm like, well, this is fantastic. I did okay. Top lane just
did less okay.
Hey, sometimes in top lane, you need to abandon top lane and just gank mid.
Yeah, I know. I play top lane. I've done that. Oh, crap. I lost this lane. Okay, now me and I'm going to team up with their jungler, and we're just going to go make the enemy mid laner's life hell. It was great. I think I've told this story. Me and Kevin, I lost lane to an enemy Riven. I was playing a tank. Me and Kevin just went, all right, we're both tanks. We can't win against that fed Riven. So let's go just absolutely make this person's life hell. So we just kept showing up in lane. Like, I think I would not be surprised if the enemy mid laner had thought that we were in a trio queue, because we kept showing up. Like, we were actually in a trio queue with Jason, who was in the bottom lane, but we never went down there. We were just absolutely wrecking this person. Like, could you guys leave me alone?
This is maybe an interesting meta question for me, but when do you decide to give up a lane?
It's very hard.
It's a very squishy kind of situation, because I gave up the lane basically because I was down two kills to a champion who did damage on a champion who just tanks, and went, I can't defend the tower, but I can get something done mid lane. And like, I've had situations where I'm doing okay in bottom lane, like in those previous games, and the enemy team sends five people there, and I go, I can't stop them. I've seen a lot of people go, we have to protect the tower, while I'm sitting there going, I can't stop them. There's one of me, there's five of them, they'll dive and murder me. So I just leave, and people get all pissed off. You have to defend the tower. Not against that.
Yeah, like, only if you guys want to come help.
It's basically when you can't accomplish anything anymore.
Yeah, that's the best way to put it. Is the simplest, easy rule is, can I get something done? If the answer is no, then why are you there?
That's fair. So, although, then the question is, like, what do you go do instead?
Well, if you're top, you just gank mid.
Usually,
especially if they're bad at warding the river.
Actually, the general situation is, if you're top, you gank mid. If you're mid, you gank bot. If you're bot, you gank mid.
Converge on middle is
well, it's because it's the shortest lane, and it's the easiest one for everybody to get to. Bottom lane has a lot of control. That's why that's generally the one where you go. Had one teammate that really ticked me off, because he was playing our jungler. And it's like, okay, we need to take Baron because we've got an advantage. We've got an opening. Take Baron. Jungler's bottom lane. Baron comes up. Enemy team is around it. Jungler's bottom lane. And everyone's going, what are you? Like, you can't do it. You need your Gromp more than we need the Baron? Or they're going to get the Baron while you pick up Gromp. Congratulations, I guess. Like, that Gromp? 50, 60 gold is a giant toad.
It's like a marquee. Nah. It's no Baron.
It's like, it's
took me a moment there.
You got 70 gold. They got a combined 1,200 for their entire team. Congratulations. You're about as dumb as a post. Congratulations. I don't know what you want.
More than one? Not just congratulations?
Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations. And then I played a lot of Dokkan Battle. The World Tournament was this week, so.
Yep,
we played
lots of that.
A lot of that. A Me lot too. Of congratulations. Because someone forgot the S.
No, they only want one congratulation for you.
Ah, okay. It's just the World Tournament announcer.
They put the S on how much damage you deal every single time you deal damage in the game.
Do they?
Yeah, have you not noticed? You do 397 damages.
No, I have not noticed that.
I'm going to keep my eyes open for that.
It's always damages. Maybe when you do one damage, it's just damage. I don't know.
But how are you ever going to find out?
I've done 6 damage before.
Yeah, I've done single digits. But I've never managed to do one.
I don't think I've ever done single digits. I've done like 16. I was happy though, because on the guaranteed thing, I managed to get Bunny Bulma. Although I can't freaking awaken her, which kind of pisses me off.
What are you missing?
The specific medals to awaken her.
They're Master Carrot medals. And the Master Carrot event is not around.
Yeah, well, that's the exact reason I'm hanging on to the not getting Butterflies Bulma.
And
because that event doesn't exist anymore.
She's super useful too. Like, I looked at her stats. She has like a bonus. Like, everyone, her passive is like everyone gets 6,000 attack or something like that. And her
super seals.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Ah, that's so good.
Her super seals normally too. So
I was also playing the World Tournament because I really wanted that Gohan.
Did you get that Gohan?
I failed. I got the 30 million points, and this was after like 4 rounds in a row. where in the semifinals I got a random super attack that one-shotted me. And yep. I got frustrated and I decided to take my 30 million points and my three extra Elder Kais and go home.
One of those events, I almost got hit with that. The three times I think I lost was because of random supers. But I had one where I'm like, oh, this is going to screw me over because it's random super. Fortunately, it was aimed at Cauliflower, who promptly dodged it.
Oh, yeah. There was one round where every round this Vegito super attacked me. He got dodge countered twice by Vegito, once by Cauliflower, and then he hit Vegito, who could not dodge.
That was fun. They had a lot of like special characters in there, like the 23rd World Tournament team, the God team. Did you not encounter that?
I don't know what you're talking about.
It was like Beerus, Supreme Kai, Kami.
There are certain theme teams you can encounter in the tournament, and they give you bonus points.
Oh, is that what those were?
Okay. Yeah, the Ginyu one.
Yeah. I just assumed someone actually had a team of those people.
No, like if you actually look at it, they're named something specific. They're not actually a person's name or look like a person's name. Like one of them was like Sun Family.
Yeah.
I didn't actually kill that one because of the fact that the AI killed it first. Because that was in the prelims.
I didn't notice. I just assumed people were being like clever and building a team based off their username.
That's what I thought initially. And then I realized that that was something special because I'd encountered it a couple of times and realized, oh, this isn't actually a person. That's why I'm getting bonus points.
Yeah, I thought it just randomly assigned bonus points sometimes.
I mean, you do just randomly get those teams sometimes.
They didn't have a rate on those? Like, it wasn't X number of wins in a row you got one?
No, not as far as I could tell. Because I don't think I got any my first entire world tournament. I don't remember any.
I remember we talked about it at one point. You said you knew they existed, but had never encountered them. And I'm like, I'm encountering them like every other game. I don't know what you're talking about.
I got a bunch of them after that, so. But I did not hit my goal. I was like 26,000 or something.
That's not very far, even.
Well, it was about 10 million points.
What difficulty modifier were you playing on most of the time?
I started out at 5, which was a mistake. If I had started out higher, I probably would have made it. Then I went up to 20 for a while and realized I could do 25 pretty reliably. So it was 25 for most of it.
Oh, wow. I did 3.5 and 5.
Yeah, I did 5 and 10, I think, is one after that. So
you might have passed me, but I think I played it more than you.
I think so, but I think I was playing higher difficulty.
Probably,
so I think
it was fun.
You were second place on my friends list for most of it, and you fell mostly because at the end I was friending a bunch of people who were higher than you.
I friended a whole bunch of people that had Vegitos because I was using them so much.
Super Saiyan Blue Vegito, man,
I got
such a badass.
And every time I encountered somebody who had the LR Brawly, I'm like, friend, and they're like, nope, the invitee's friended box has reached their limit. I'm like, damn it.
Well, go figure. It's because they got the LR Brawly. It's a fun game though.
There was one more that I can't remember what it was. No, there was something else that I just can't remember what it was about the world tournament. Oops.
Anyway, so that brings us to the assignment, I guess. Speaking of tiers, this is a bad transition.
Speaking of tournaments.
Yeah, this game has tiers in it.
Kirby's Dream Course for the Super Nintendo. This game was made shortly after they made the NES Kirby because they wanted to try to make a non-platforming game before they made the next big Kirby game, which I think would have been Kirby's Dream Land 3, actually. And this is about as far away as you can get from
a platformer?
Yeah, I mean, this is about as far away as you're going to get from most things.
This is also, I believe, predates Mario Kart, so it's kind of before Mario just started doing everything.
Yeah, this is, I think Kirby Star Stacker also existed at this point already.
Did this use, like, an updated graphical set for the game we played for it, or?
No, look that way on the Super Nintendo. Super Nintendo was capable of some cool things. Like, if you see Star Fox 2, which you probably haven't seen any footage of, that was all capable on the Super Nintendo. They didn't release it because they were about to release the N64 and the PlayStation was already out. And they didn't want people comparing it to PlayStation games, because it looks like compared to a PlayStation game.
Yeah, I've never actually seen any footage of Star Fox 2. But
I mean, it did just get released for the first time officially.
It's on the Super NES Mini.
Although a ROM that was playable, not this version, but a less complete version has been available for a while. It's got some weird RTS elements. I actually really want to play it.
Huh. That sounds interesting. Speaking of interesting mechanics.
Yeah, so Kirby's Dream Course is a golf game of all things. It plays like a golf game. You've got the power meter. You have to time when you shoot it. It does a thing I don't like, where if you let the power meter fill up and then go all the way down, it will shoot with no power.
Yeah, I definitely like did that the first time.
I don't like it when games do that, because sometimes you change your mind midway through. Like, if I don't hit the button, either just bounce it back up.
Or stop it.
Like, don't just decide, I'm going to hit the ball now.
Although I think you can hit B to back out. I might be wrong about that.
I think you can. But I didn't realize that it wasn't just going to bounce back up again.
Yeah. And that actually, I think, is a good point about a lot of this game's design. It's not very friendly to new players. A lot of the controls are not exactly hidden, but weird. B backs you out, but you also have to hit B to add spin on your ball or to hit it like at the top of the ball or on the bottom of the ball.
Oh, that's how you do that?
Yeah, you have B from the, instead of hitting A from the main menu, you double tap B, and then it lets you take spin options. It's also how you hit hit on the bottom of the ball if you want to hit up.
I thought that was just if you hit up on the D-pad, it would do that.
Yeah, if you hit up.
I couldn't get it to do it. I tried.
Yeah, up on the D-pad causes you to, like, pop it, and down on the D-pad from the neutral position causes you to, like, hit it really hard, I guess? I'm not really sure what that option was.
What it always looked like was it gave you more energy.
I also
like,
found
was the difference between, like, a just the putter and then the...
like a driver, I guess?
Like a one wedge.
Yeah, so you've got a couple different options about how to hit Kirby, and like it's...
Oh, yeah. Also, the ball is Kirby in this game.
Yeah, the ball is
hitting
Kirby.
Him around. He has health, which are represented by little tomatoes.
They're basically your strokes.
Yeah, every stroke you take, you lose a tomato. Every enemy you kill, you get a tomato.
Or if you hit the hole. You also
or if
get
you hit
tomato.
The hole. So theoretically, if you do something productive with every shot, then you don't lose.
I think I died once to that.
I died multiple times to that, but I also played this game for like an hour, so.
I didn't play it that long.
Yeah, I died a couple times to that as well, but one of the nice things was the more I played it, the less that happened, so I could feel myself getting better.
I played the first like course area and was like, I've seen everything this game has to offer.
Mostly, yeah, I agree with that, but.
A few power-ups aren't on it, but yeah, for the most part.
I didn't even know the power-ups were a thing, so.
But you wanted to talk about the physics of this game, Zach.
Yeah, so. The physics of this game, specifically gravity, are very weird. It's also kind of attached to the hole itself, because there were a lot of times in which I would get Kirby right to the hole, and he'd stop, like, on the border, where any other golf ball
would, like,
is just going to roll in. And on top of that, the hole itself is just a little bit bigger than Kirby. So if you hit it just a little bit too hard, he'll pop out immediately, because you hit it too hard.
Yeah, hitting the holes is really precise in this game.
It's way too precise, in my opinion, to really be fun. Because I had so many of those where it's like, if you're anywhere other than right next to the hole because the physics bugged out and he didn't, or not bugged out, but because the physics are set up in such a way that he doesn't fall like that, you're basically going to get popped out of the hole.
And that kind of goes to the point I was making earlier. And it's really weird for a Nintendo game and especially a Kirby game. But this game has not like a high learning curve. It's not really difficult. But I feel like it's really discouraging early on for things like that, for you being able to just barely miss. And the way that the lives work, if you're like getting used to the physics of this game, getting used to how much power you have, that's when you're most likely to run out of tomatoes and actually die.
Yeah.
And so it's really weird for this game to be that punishing to new players. And once you play it for like an hour, I think you get over most of that. But that's the time frame where you can discourage someone. Now, that said, back in the day, this would have been a $50 game, and you're probably going to stick with it longer than that.
Because it's the only one you've got.
Yeah. And so it's a thing where it doesn't age well. But it's still very odd, especially for a Kirby game, which are the super easy ones for them to like kind of front load the learning curve and difficulty.
This was on the Super Nintendo, right?
Yep.
Correct.
So you attach to the fact the controls itself, because it's a D-pad. And the thing that annoyed me was I kept hitting up and down in order
instead
to try
of left and right.
Yeah, because it's like I want to go up. I want to aim up from where I'm sitting. So I hit up in order to get him to turn in that direction. He doesn't do that. You have to, if you want to turn him around, you have to hit left or right and hold it down until the little aimer goes all the way
around. Yeah, that's not
very
intuitive considering two of the buttons were basically unused. I feel like they could have just mapped that to one of those two buttons.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. That's why I asked if it was on the Super Nintendo, because if it was on the NES, then it would make sense to do something like that, because if your button layout is so much more limited. But since you have those X and Y buttons that aren't doing anything, like, come on, man.
You do use the Y. If you hold Y, you can look around the course instead of aiming Kirby. But you do have an X button.
But wouldn't you have Select?
You would also have Select if you wanted to use that. And you have the two shoulder buttons as well.
Which are actually mapped to, like, quick turns. They do, like, an eighth of a full circle, so...
I didn't know that. I didn't
it's not very useful,
I
mostly.
I really wish this game just had an early tutorial. That would actually solve a lot of these problems.
Which they had in Superstar, right? Like, at the beginning of every game in Superstar, they're like, here's how you play this game, and then they build on each other. So, like, you played all the other games up to this point. Here's what's special about this one. And, like, I feel like this game would have benefited from something similar to that.
My overall impression of this game, not to jump ahead to final thoughts, is that if they'd done this on the N64 or the GameCube and they iterated on this, they could have had something really special. And this game, I think, was probably pretty good at the time. I enjoyed playing it, but it doesn't hold up super well.
I mean, one of the things that is nice about it, it feels like a mini golf game, right? Because that's what it is. You're not hitting Kirby hundreds of yards with a driver or something like that. This is mini golf. And the courses are variable to a slight tilt because... in order to get more strokes, you have to take out enemies on the stage. And the last enemy on the stage turns into the hole to progress. And so if you, you know, kind of aim it right, you can take out multiple guys with one shot.
Which gives you multiple hearts, which kind of helps you make up for if you've wasted
shots before.
If you mess up before. And also it adds this cool tactical element of you getting to pick where the hole is. Like there's one course early on where there's this one enemy who's up on this ledge. And the first two times I did it, I took out the other two enemies first and then went for him. And I had to deal with this pain in the ass, like, slope to get up there and then try to get in the hole. But after that, I would just take him out first, so the hole was in a much easier position. And that's like a cool little feeling myself get better at this game. And I like those kind of tactical decisions you can make.
Yeah, this game actually, like, it feels a lot more like a puzzle game. The problem is, like, in order to solve the puzzle, you also have to be able to implement your approach. And it's hard to know how to implement your approach properly unless you've done it a couple times already.
And then going back again to the physics there, he doesn't seem to behave in quite the same manner all the time. He's a little inconsistent as to how he treats hills. Sometimes the different gradients, he'd go down faster or slower depending on which one I was on, but it wasn't always consistent as to how quick it was. Like, sometimes he'd just stop, like he's in a totally frictioned environment. Like, he always, like, he's going to stop even though he's on a hill.
Huh. And I don't think I ever had that happen.
I didn't notice a lot of that either, but I did try to avoid hills with my holes so that I didn't have to keep shooting up them. Although, in hindsight, I probably could have just, like, hit under once I figured that out.
No, it was specific because I had one where I got a hole at the bottom of a hill, and so I was using the hill in order to come back down, and he just kind of stopped. Huh. At the base of the, like, he didn't gather momentum going down the hill. It's like
that's
he
really
just kind of got to the point where he stopped next to the hole.
That sounds like a bug, frankly.
The thing I don't like about this game is the way that falling off an edge works, because it's like in a platformer. If you hit yourself off the course, you just die instead of losing a stroke, and that feels way too punishing to me.
Especially given early on, there are like little bouncy boundaries that you can like ricochet Kirby off of. And then suddenly, those are missing. Like, they just take them off after a little bit. And
honestly, I would prefer them to do away with lives entirely. They're yeah. entirely irrelevant to a game like this. This is a mini-golf game. You don't need lives. You'll have strokes. Like, if you want to make people have a challenge getting to the next courses or whatever, put a stroke limit on it. So, like, you need to have under 50 strokes in order to get to unlock the next stage.
So, basically, a mercy roll.
Yeah.
Which is kind of how these function anyway.
The problem is they carry over between holes, so.
I was talking earlier about how I wish they'd iterated on this game and done more, and that's definitely something I think they would have taken out. That said, the same thing with F-Zero, a racing game that had lives, I find this kind of interesting. And I think if you're a young kid playing video games for the first time, that's easier to understand than a stroke limit. It's playing with the language of video games instead of the language of golf.
But the thing is, you also have a stroke limit. If you use four strokes without getting anything, you die.
That's true. But I wish that going off was just maybe an extra penalty. Like you lost an extra stroke the way you do in like golf.
Yeah, like an actual out-of-bounds penalty. I think what makes this game really interesting is they start adding like conveyor belts and like changing gradients and moving platforms and water and sand traps.
Water shows up in the first element. And there was actually one course that was kind of interesting because there was a button early on.
To drain the water,
to
and
drain
if you
the water.
Hit it, it makes the rest of the level easier.
And I kind of assumed that's what it did, so I aimed for it.
Yep. But my favorite thing about this game is that you can pick up power-ups from certain enemies, although it doesn't tell you what they do until you use them, but you can use them like once per stroke, basically forever. So
until you get another power-up or you die.
The ones I got were jump, which will just allow you to jump. Although, if you hit Kirby in midair, you see you're not going to make that ledge, you can jump and give yourself a little extra distance. Or spark, which allows you to be invulnerable to, like, play hazards, I guess. Rock, which turns you into a rock, slows you down, you slide down hills. Things like that.
There's also parachute, which like opens like a dragnet, which is very useful if you're going to fall off an edge. Or also spike, which makes you grow spikes to like dig into the ground so you don't fall.
It's interesting to play around with. Oh, wheel, which if you're moving a direction, you just move that direction really fast until you hit an edge. You can definitely jump over the edge boundaries or just right off the edge if there's nothing to stop you. So,
well done.
I only did it once. It's interesting to play around with because it can really affect your trajectory and stuff. I kind of wish they had introduced the powers earlier on because I think they were kind of the more interesting thing about the game.
I didn't know they were a thing, so I never actually picked up any of them. I saw the different enemy, but I thought they were just going to change what the enemies looked like.
I think it's one of those things that would have really benefited from a tutorial because I didn't, like, I only knew about that because I had played the game before. And I'm sure the first time I played the game, I would have had no idea.
And quite honestly, the levels aren't very interesting. Like, they do some interesting things with them, But because they're set up in such a way that you have to kill those additional enemies in order to unlock the hole, they have to kind of keep them bland and open enough for you to get that shot.
I got to, I think, course 3 or 4, and they get a little more interesting, but yeah, they never, like, they're all pretty self-explanatory. They kind of have to be, like, they had to be a little small in order for you to, like, not fall outside that 4-stroke limit.
Yeah, I mean, I was just thinking about that because, you know, you see a lot of the other, I mean, going to modern mini-golf games, you have a lot of, like, weird stuff that people are doing with them and whatnot. So, like, because you can do a lot with a mini-golf type game digitally, because you can do whatever you want. There's no real limit when you're doing it digital.
Like Jeremy said, I think there are a lot of good ideas here, but they needed just a little more polishing to really make this great.
I don't even know if it's more polishing. I think, like, for a Super NES golf game, this is a real good showing. It just doesn't hold up super well, and I would have liked to see what Kirby's Dream Course 64 did. I think there's a cool formula here. I don't know if I'd want one every single console, but I like what we got here.
Like, we maybe would have liked to see it in 3D once, just to see what they came up with.
I wonder if Mario Golf kind of took that spot, but Mario Golf is a very, very different beast there.
Possible, but also it was developed by Camelot. But also this was developed by HAL and not Nintendo, so it's hard to say.
I wonder if it didn't sell well enough and that's why they didn't bring it back.
Could be. Or also could be they just decided to just do normal Kirby games, because this started as an experiment because they didn't want to, like, get in a rut.
That's fair.
Like I said, I think they did Star Stacker at some point, which is like a Kirby take on a Stacker.
And there's Kirby's Avalanche.
Game. Yeah. So, like, they did interesting things with Kirby early on that I think they just... Actually, although they kind of did that with mainline Kirby games. Like, Squeak Squad is a wholly different game than most Kirby games.
And Air Ride, which is a racing game. Epic Yarn, which is more of a visual change than anything else.
I kind of feel like maybe they just like messing around with Kirby occasionally. Or really, they want to mess around with games, and Kirby is a convenient excuse to toss him in there.
He's a Lovecraftian horror, so he fits pretty much everywhere.
Do we have any final thoughts on this game besides mine, which I already kind of gave, which is I like the idea of it. I don't think it holds up super well, but I would have loved to see another one on a future platform.
And I think I agree with that sentiment.
It's not terrible, but there's a lot of better golf games and mini golf games available. This one isn't horrible. It's very middle of the road. I would avoid it, but that's just because there are better games in a similar vein available.
It was not really boring per se, but it was also not interesting enough to
I'm not going to come back to this one, I don't think.
Yeah.
Even though I do like a lot of what's going on here. So speaking of stuff I like that's going on, we have a list on our website at www.lasttimeonvideogames.com listing all the games we've played from best to worst. At the top is Chrono Trigger, a game with no golf in it.
Yeah, I was thinking of all the mini games in Chrono Trigger, and somehow golf is not one of them.
At the bottom is Echo the Dolphin, a game where you can kind of shoot your dolphin like a golf ball out of the water.
That's a stretch, but I'll allow it.
In the middle is Mega Man 2 Roman numeral for Game Boy that doesn't have Golf Man. And speaking of Golf Man, directly below that is Golf for the NES. So let's start there. How do we think it compares to that? Even though golf is really simple, I guess because golf is really simple, I actually like this one quite a bit more.
I think this one was trying some more. It's a bit more polished than golf. I think it's better.
Yeah, I agree. It's a neater idea. I was able to devote a lot more time to this without getting bored.
So not too much higher, we have Mario Golf for N64.
And I actually prefer Mario Golf.
I think Mario Golf is a better game than this.
Okay.
Personally.
So directly in the middle of those is Contra 3 The Alien Wars.
You know, my bias towards Kirby really wants me to put Dream Course above that. But frankly, I think Contra 3 was more game for your game.
I agree with Tyler. There's more game in Contra 3, as well as... This game didn't have competitive co-op play, did it?
It had competitive play.
Okay. I mean, that would do a lot. But we didn't play it, so that kind of... But I prefer the run-and-gun Contra. I think it just had a bit more going on.
So this one is going to be really easy to rank. Final question. Better or worse than Mega Man 2 for Game Boy?
Better.
I agree with Zach. My reasoning would be this is an inventive game. They're clearly taking the Kirby formula and trying something really new with it. Mega Man 2 was just, let's put Mega Man on Game Boy, which is cool because I'd like to play Mega Man on Game Boy, but it's not exactly inspiring.
And I had to strip out a lot of things in order to get it there.
Yeah.
And I also agree, so I guess it's unanimous.
So dead center of the list, Kirby's Dream Course.
That was easy.
So it's our new middle-of-the-road game?
You need to get that Staples thing. That was easy.
All right, so speaking of pretty easy, next week is Halloween!
Just like that.
Halloween! So I have wanted to call Castlevanias for Halloween for like the past couple of years, but we played not the last one. We still have the portable ones to play, but we already played one recently at the start of October.
Like, we're running out of Castlevanias at this point.
And there's another spooky franchise we haven't even started yet.
Silent Hill?
That I've wanted to for a while. No, the worst version of Silent Hill, Resident Evil.
A Jill sandwich?
The very same.
Okay. I played four. I liked four. I played five. I liked five. This is like it, right?
Yeah, Resident Evil 4 is the only Resident Evil game I've ever played, and I've heard there was a reason for that.
Did you ever beat that?
No, I should sometime.
I actually didn't either. I ran out of ammo very near the end and could not overcome it.
Huh. I'm the only one that's beaten Resident Evil 4. That's weird.
Yeah, I wanted to. I played it while sick one day and then never picked it back up.
So next week we're going to play the HD re-release, which is a remake of the GameCube remake of the original Resident Evil.
Is it Resident Evil 0 or Resident Evil?
It's Resident Evil. Zero is a prequel.
Slash Biohazard.
Okay.
Slash Biohazard, yes. But not Resident Evil 7 Biohazard.
I mean, you guys are going to play the remake. I'm actually going to go play the original version.
On a PlayStation?
Yep.
Well,
sure.
Next time on Last Time, only God can save Tyler now. This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games, copyright 2017. All the video games and other media mentioned within are copyright their respective owners. To listen to past episodes and see other content, visit www.lasttimeonvideogames.com. If you'd like to reach us by email, you can do so at ltovg@lasttimeonvideogames.com. We're also on iTunes and would really appreciate a 5-star review, or if you just told a friend about the show. What is a podcast? A miserable pile of secrets. But this one is over. See you next week. So anyway, what else do you like, Tyler? Like so much that you were playing it this week. The correct answer is Alex. See, that's definitely getting cut, but yeah, I wanted to make the joke.
Also, I have been playing that game this week.